As we begun our study on Hebrews last week, we noticed that it is a unique letter. There's no mention of who the author is, by name, or even who the recipients of this letter are. And rather, it starts like an essay in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We also noted regarding the purpose of this letter was to encourage those Jewish Christians to remain steadfast in their faith. And it was accomplished by showing the superiority of Christ and the superiority of this new covenant. That superiority is demonstrated through a number of contrasts. The very first contrast begins in the first three verses of chapter 1, in which Jesus is contrasted with the prophets of the Old Testament. So today we're going to take a close look at this contrast. We're going to notice how God spoke in time past and how He speaks in these last days, observing how Jesus is certainly qualified to be God's perfect spokesman. So beginning in verse 1, we're going to consider what God says, or what the writer says here, that God's spokesman in time past. That expression in time past refers to the period of time before the coming of Christ. In other words, that period of time that is described in the Old Testament from the book of Genesis to the book of Malachi. God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, verse 1 says. The fathers would naturally be the ancestors of the Israelites. The prophets would include great men like Samuel, Elijah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and the list goes on about all these great prophets. The Hebrew word for prophet means one who boils over. And it refers to one who is inspired by God to speak for him, 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. And from 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 12, we see that these prophets themselves were unsure at times about what they were even speaking about. It goes on in verse 1 to say that God spoke at various times and in different ways. His revelation didn't come all at once, but progressively at different times. And his methods of speaking to these prophets would vary as well. He would use visions or dreams or symbols in many different ways. So we see that God has clearly revealed himself as one who speaks. That is, he communicates his will to us, to mankind. Well, what he revealed through his prophets in time past is certainly wonderful. But now let's consider what we learn regarding verses 2 and 3. God's spokesman in these last days, he says. That's what we want to talk about, these last days. That expression literally means at the end of these days. And it can be understood as referring to either the close of the period of the Jewish age, according to Milligan's commentary, or the period of the Messiah, which most commentaries agree with. The Old Testament often spoke of the last days in Old Testament passages like Isaiah 2 and verse 2, Micah 4 and verse 1. And as such, it often had special reference to the age of the Messiah. The apostles spoke of their time as the time of this fulfillment, Acts 2 verses 16 and 17, and it denotes the final phase of history brought on by the first coming of Christ, and continuing until his second coming and the consummation of all things. Hebrews 9, verse 26, 1 Peter 1 and verse 20, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. And these verses tell us that God has spoken to us by his Son. So once again, we see that God has spoken. But notice the contrast. In time past, it was through prophets. But in these last days, it is by his Son. So God sent his own Son to speak for him. Now, as wonderful as the prophets were, how can they compare to God's own Son? There's no contrast, especially as we read and notice the excellence of God's perfect spokesman. Jesus is the appointed heir of all things. The writer here may have had Psalm 2 and verse 8 in mind, because in verse 5, he quotes from Psalm 2 and verse 7, as the beloved Son, it is only natural that he would be the appointed heir. Now, what does all things include? Well, according to John 16 and verse 15, it's all that the Father has. In John 5 and verses 26 through 29, the authority to raise and judge the dead. It also means that it includes the authority to rule in heaven and on earth, Matthew 28 and verse 18. And it means that this authority that is what Christ has even now. Acts 2 and verse 36, Acts 10 and verse 36, Ephesians 1, 1 Peter 3, and Revelation 1. Jesus is through whom he, that is God, also made the worlds. Not only the heir, but also the creator. Because it was through the Son that God created the universe, John 1 and verse 3, Colossians 1 and verse 16. So all things were created by or through him, which makes him the creator. And all things were created for him because he is the rightful heir. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. And in Jesus, we see the very radiance of the glory of God. As John would write in John 1 and verse 14, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now, when we behold Jesus, we see an extension of the glory of God. Jesus is the express image of his person, that is God's person. And he is the exact representation of God's being and character according to Colossians 2 and verse 9. So therefore Jesus could say to Thomas, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you will know him and have seen him." John 14 and verse 7. And he also said to Philip, "He who has seen me has seen the Father," John 14 and verse 9. Jesus is upholding all things by the word of his power. Not only the creator, but also as the sustainer of the universe. Colossians 1 verse 17 says that in him all things consist. So it's by his word the universe holds together. And all he has to do is say the word, and the universe is no more. But let's notice, this illustrates the power of his word. Should we not listen when he speaks? Luke 6 and verse 46. Jesus also, we're told, that by himself purged our sins. A clear reference to his death on the cross for our sins. This speaks to his role as our Redeemer. A theme that's going to be prominent later in this letter. Passages like Hebrews 2 and verse 17. Hebrews 9 verses 26 through 28. Jesus also sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He did when he ascended to heaven. Ephesians 1 and verse 20 and 1 Peter 3 and verse 22. Now sitting at the right hand of God is a place of honor. But for Jesus, it is also a place from which he reigns. That's indicated in Ephesians 1, verses 21 and 22, and 1 Peter 3, and verse 22. Now, it's true that he's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool, Hebrews 10, verses 12 and 13, but he is also reigning until that time. That's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 25 and 26. And that's also a statement from Psalm 110 and verses 1 and 2, from which the author of the Hebrew writer quotes, "The Messiah was to rule in the midst of your enemies." So Jesus is truly the ruler over the kings of the earth, Revelation 1 and verse 5, Revelation 17 and verse 14. Now, the sentence doesn't end with verse 3. It continues on into verse 4 with a declaration of Jesus' superiority over angels. But that verse and the rest of the chapter we'll save for the next lesson. But what we have seen today in this lesson is that God is clearly a God who speaks to his people, to mankind. He makes his will known to everyone, to all of mankind. But now he speaks through his Son, who is the appointed heir of all things, the creator, the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. He is our sustainer, our redeemer, and our king. How could we turn our back on him? How could we refuse to listen? How could we refuse to obey him? especially when the Majesty on High proclaimed that at the Mount of Transfiguration, when God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Matthew 17 and verse 5. So my question is this. Knowing who Jesus is, that he is the appointed heir of all things, he is the creator, he is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, he is our sustainer, our redeemer, and our king. The question begs to be asked, are you heeding, are you listening to the words of the beloved Son, who the Hebrew writer says is God's perfect spokesman? We go back to Matthew 28 and verse 18, as Jesus begins Matthew's account of the Great Commission, and he said in verse 18 that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. A lot of people say, I believe in Jesus, I love Jesus, but yet we don't fully obey Jesus. We don't fully obey. And he goes on in the rest of Matthew there, in Matthew 28 and verses 19 and 20, and talks about becoming disciples and how we become disciples by putting Jesus on in baptism. And people say, well, I don't have to be baptized. Well, if you're going to love Jesus and obey Jesus and believe Jesus, you have to do what he says. You have to do exactly what he says. You cannot water down. You cannot change what Jesus said to suit your desires, to suit your wants. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 10, it tells us that we are to live faithful unto death. And we do that in order to receive the crown of righteousness. So if I'm going to live faithful unto death, that means I have to go back and follow Jesus' commands. Now, we go back to Matthew 28 and verse 18. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That word authority means he has the right to tell us what to do. So if we want to go to heaven, Jesus says this is the way to do it. He has the authority from God on high to tell us what to do and expect us to follow those commands. The right to demand that we obey him. If I don't obey him, then I don't have the hope of heaven. If I don't follow the teachings of Jesus, I don't have the hope of heaven. We don't have the hope of heaven if we are not following Jesus' commands. It's that simple. And that's what the Hebrew writer talks about, that Jesus is far superior to anything that has come this far. I hope that you agree with this lesson. If you would like to talk to me about this lesson or any other lesson, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can listen to this lesson again at the church's website, that's churchateastside.com, or you can visit with us this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study. We'll be in the Gospel of Luke. I believe we're in chapter 22, and we'll meet at 10 a.m. for worship service, and again this evening at 5 p.m. We'll also have a midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Again, my email address is djcurtis1963@hotmail.com, and the church's website is churchateastside.com. I want to thank you for being with me again this morning.